Okay, we're going to continue our study in Exodus. The 10th chapter today, as we continue as a preparation for deliverance. But one of the things that really excites me about this word is that to see how orderly God really is. And when you understand His order, you realize how out of order we are in every facet of our lives. I mean, we're just flat out of order. And you know what? We've been getting a word that's showing us that we are. I mean, I'll just go back to last week. I think it was last week. We had a gentleman in here, legendary preacher, preaching out of Genesis. That sermon was simply about order. Something's going wrong in the garden. But God is constantly speaking to us. He speaks to us through His Word. And every day, He's telling us. And every day, we ignore. We are the pharaohs of our time. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't let me say that. Okay. All right. Today we are going to look at what the authors have entitled Final Confrontation with Pharaoh. The scene. Have you ever seen one of them old movies, Terry, where, you know, the good guy is constantly being pestered by the bad guy? And maybe the good guy doesn't even wear a gun, and you know, but he's a gunslinger, and so an ex-gunslinger. And so finally, he done had enough, and when he's done had enough, he's got to do something about it. So he straps on his gun, and he meets the old bad guy in the middle of the street, Keith, for a final confrontation. Oh, something's going down. It's getting ready to go down now. He's filled up to right here, and his cup is flowing over. He's going to do something about this rascal. Normally that happens within, in the old Westerns, 30 minutes or an hour at the most. But it's amazing how long-suffering God is, that He puts up with mess day in and day out, and people don't change. They don't change their disposition. They don't change their actions, and God just still puts up with it. And what happens is, that's what I call we say putting up with it or long suffering. That's an anthropomorphic term used so that you guys will understand it. But God doesn't deal in time. And see, we deal in time, but God deals in eternity, and they don't match. And it may seem like this is a long time. And we started our study quarter in that God hearing the cry of His people, and said, I've heard you crying all along. You think it's been a long time, but I'm about to move in my own time. And the only thing that He was doing there, that when He says, I'm about to move, they think, oh, something's going to happen, because we're used to instant gratification and all of that. But all God's was saying that I'm going to work with this. I heard you cry. But I've already begun the work. I'm just going to continue in the work. And so He's dealing with world systems represented by a country called Egypt, and satanic forces represented by the pharaohs of their time. And you guys know the background now, and we're to a point where there has been plague after plague. There's going to be 10 of them. We're not even through with them yet. I thought we were through with the plagues. But here, right off the bat, in today's lesson, we're going to see plague number 9. And when you go back and take a recap of those plagues, you see how systematic and orderly God has been in bringing about these plagues. He's attacking the hierarchy of this world satanical system. These gods, these polytheistic beliefs of Egypt, he's attacking them systematically, one by one by one, starting off with the blood, the Nile, the bloodline, the lifeline of Egypt. He starts there. And today we're going to see that he brings about darkness. And one of the true high gods was the sun god called Wraith, and the moon god called Thoth. And he's going to deal with Ray and Thoth today. He's going to send them right on back to where he... And what God, you know, his word is so true, Mo, because he's saying, I'm doing this not because you've been so good, Davies, but because these people need to know who I am. They need to know who they messing with. I mean, just put it straight up. God is saying, you've got to know me. And if you knew me, you wouldn't be acting the way you're doing. You'd let my people go. You wouldn't be holding people in bondage. You wouldn't be in total defiance of my word. And today we're going to see that the world can get so dark that they'll try to compromise with God. They'll try to negotiate with God. And God is going to show you and me how we ought to deal with the world when we're dealing, when we're in this world. And that is, you've got to be, you don't have to worry about compromising, negotiation, the art of the deal, or nothing else. Just know God and know his word. Because if you know God and his word, you don't have to worry about compromising, because you're just going to do what the word say do. Pharaoh has not gotten the message. Mr. Brown, I'm telling you, Pharaoh has not gotten the message. And here it is. That's why I know talking ain't going to do no good. I realize that now. I didn't realize that as a boy. I didn't realize that. Rob, I didn't realize that. I always thought that, you know, you could just talk to people and, you know, they'll change their ways. And that them grandmamas and grandpapas and uncles that always believed in banging on the bottom in order to clear up the head, that they were just wrong. That all they needed to do was do a little talking. Just do a little talking. We've had, I want you to count them, to this point, in today's scripture found in Exodus 10, starting with verses 21 through 29, we've had 8 plagues. Go back and count them. 8 of them. 6 of them. 6 of the 8. Y'all got to hear this. 6 of the 8. Moses had to go to Pharaoh and tell him, make a request. Let my people go. If you don't let my people go, something going to happen. Number 7, 8, and 9. Today's is the 9th. God said, don't go tell him nothing. Talking time is over with. See, and because when it came to number 7, he said, just do it. Number 8, yep, send the locusts. Told Moses to do it. He said, don't go, because you know what? Pharaoh know why I'm doing this right now. He's seen everything that has happened to him and his people. He still hasn't responded affirmatively, so don't tell him that. Just do it. And the locusts came, devoured what little crops they had left, turned the sky dark in themselves. And then God takes it away. Verse 21. Here we go. No notice, because you know what? There comes a time in all of our lives, God's going to stop talking to you. You want God to keep on talking. Because as long as he's talking, you know, something might happen to you. But catastrophic events may not be happening to you. But so you want to have him keep on talking. Because when he stops talking, you're going to be in trouble. And right now, he ain't talking to Pharaoh. He's talking to Moses. Verse 21 tells you something. What do you say?
Stretch out thy hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt.
Okay, Moses. I have systematically come against each of these gods, but I'm not finished. There's a sun god out there. Sun goddess, rather. Ray. You go, stretch out your rod and attack that God by bringing darkness over all of Egypt. Because you know what? People who want to be in the dark should be in the dark. Now, see, they don't know what darkness is. And when you're dealing with spiritual wickedness, folk, you're dealing with darkness. And anytime you're dealing with darkness, I mean, just imagine turning out the lights here. You guys would all feel uncomfortable. We did it one day in class. The fellas turned out the lights. They ain't like that. They okay. Y'all either, we're not going to do it today. But when people are in darkness, that's a terrible feeling. When you don't know, when the power go out, Deacon Newsom, when the power go out, you ain't got no power. You can't see nothing? But this wasn't a normal darkness. The darkness that God was calling for was that they would not see nothing. That it would be so dark you could feel it. Oh, that's an icky kind of, oh, that's a let's get in the shower and clean off type of dark. That's darkness. But that's where they were. And you know what I find ironic? I mean, you guys, I mean, when you study this stuff, it will blow your mind. What plague is this? About nine. Do you realize nine is the symbol or the numerology of spiritual enlightenment? Nine. Anyway, y'all didn't hear that. Nine is the symbol for spiritual enlightenment. God uses the ninth plague to enlighten a dark world. Y'all didn't get that. How's that? He said, you want to be dark all the way. That's a spiritual enlightenment. Y'all didn't get it. Because Egypt was in spiritual darkness. So you ought to live where you live. And I'm going to enlighten the camps of the Israelites while total darkness is there. And the whole idea, I'm going to turn your part of town dark, their part of town will have light just for one purpose, so that you'll know me. Oh, he's got a sense of humor. He's going to bring darkness to enlighten you. He's going to bring darkness to enlighten you. And so that's what he says. He says, stretch out your rod, and I want it to be dark. I want it to be so dark that it is felt. Verse 22. Y'all count them, 3 days. 3 days, no light. No moon, no stars, no sun. You can't even see your hand. And as a matter of fact, There are some people with this great imagination says that this darkness may have been so great that people further covered their eyes and their mouth because the darkness got all up in their eyes. You could feel it. If you could feel it with your hands, you know you could feel it with your eyes, so they just shut their eyes. So they have slipped into total darkness. I'm telling you, you guys know, y'all know how I do it. Y'all know I like music. You remember Jim? That's right. They know it. They know it. They know it. Hey, Tony, they know it. I'm telling you. Matter of fact, I'm telling you. I didn't even think y'all were old enough to remember that, you know. But 1972, there's a group called War. And they sung that song, Slipping in the Darkness. And for those of you who are music aficionados who really know the music, you know, the words really didn't make no sense. Guy by the guy drinking whiskey and like the bark at the moon, you know, I ain't get it. But the last stanza of that particular War version says that I heard my mama say, one day, boy, you gonna pay. Because here, payday has come. God has been telling Pharaoh all along, oh, it's coming. I'm coming at you. And so here, the day you're gonna pay. I ain't letting you see nothing. I ain't letting you go nowhere. You can't go nowhere. That, because, I mean, think about it. When you lose your sight, you lose mobility. You don't know where you're going. I mean, even the unsighted, you know, they're somewhat limited unless they have a guide, somebody to chauffeur them around. But here, there was nobody. Couldn't nobody get out except one place for 3 days. God knows how to deal in those threes. You know, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm giving them a day of darkness for each one of us to know the totality of the Godhead. This is God's doing. This is nobody but God doing it. And he says, you don't have to blame nobody. You can't say, well, you know, the locusts, there were so many locusts, they made it. No, the previous verses told you that God wiped all the locusts out, sent them, and then wiped them out. It was a beautiful, sunshiny day, but it was a day only to show Pharaoh that he was slipping. Right in the darkness, because God says, stretch out your rod. Moses did it, and there was darkness that filled the Egyptian side. Y'all read the next verse. They dealing in the dark. They dealing in the dark. We in the light. Goshen, Egypt. Egypt in darkness. The Israelites in the light. See, because first of all, God is light. John, 1 John 1, 5, 102 students, y'all gonna have to help me now. God is light, and in him there is no darkness. In other words, God says, I don't let darkness stand on the same plane with me. So I'm over here, I'm enlightening the Israelites to show them, remind them who God is, and to look over and see nothing but dark. They couldn't see nothing. And the Israelites could walk around, fellowship, deal with each other, see each other, but on the other side, over in Egypt, nobody could even move for 3 days. Totally paralyzed. You know why? Because he's God. He commands all the light. Of course he does. He's the creator. Now, y'all remember? And God spoke, and light come running at 186,000 miles per second. God controls the light. God controls the light switches. So here it is, they're in the dark. It matches their spiritual status. Spiritually, they're in the dark, and now physically, they're in the dark. And God makes it clear here that this is no allegorical representation of, you know, dark, evil versus good. No, this is a physical darkness for 3 days, and they did not go anywhere while these folk over here went on and conducted their business. You don't have to worry about the devil and all his cohorts. God's got him in control. And in his own time, God will deal with spiritual darkness the way that he always has. But the lesson for us is that we don't have to get over there and get, there's probably some folks say, yo, people who cared for the Egyptians' children, can you imagine how they felt? You know, because they grew close to those children. And you know, they're naturally concerned about them. But you know what? God reigns on the just and the unjust. He's judging a condition. And that's what sin does. And further on, he's going to address that issue. He's saying, you're living in sin. You're living in defiance of the one true God. Anytime you stop listening to the word of God, you slip into darkness. You see how I snuck that in there? You see, because God stopped talking to them. And when God stops talking, spiritual darkness runs rampant. When you, the further you get away from the word, that's why you as Christians don't need to stay away from the word. You need to embrace the word. You need to have the word if you don't have a family fellowship. Oh, I know we're putting a lot of emphasis on fellowship now. We because we are a balanced church. We're trying to be balanced. But I will never substitute fellowship for the spiritual food. Never. Because when you do, you lose your power source. And you slip into darkness. Right there. It's right there. I want you to read in verse 23, starting with, but. You mind reading that again, do you? Because somebody didn't get it. But all
the children of Israel had light in their dwellings.
Do you know what that's like, folk? That's like the main breaker in this building blows up. And all the lights in this building goes out. They all out. They gone. How would you know that? Unless I told you, right? Because guess what? You all got light in here. It's dark everywhere else. All the lights are out. But in here, there's light. Now you're saying, how can that be? And circuit breaker is not the word I want to use. I want to use transformer. Yeah, transformer. How can the main transformer go out and every room in this building is in darkness except this one? You know what you would do? What's the first thing you would do if that happened? They come running, it's dark. And you couldn't even see. Because you look out there and you say, wait a minute, oh, you don't even see nothing. It's so dark you can't even see. You think there's somebody in the hallway and they're saying it's dark. And you say, it sure is. But not in here. But let me show you how stupid the world is, Buzz. In Goshen, in every house, there's light. How stupid are you going to be to sit over here in the darkness and there's light over there? Oh, Oh, we got to think, God. This sin got us, something's wrong in the garden. I'm telling you, the garden really messed us up. That you would be so blind, so stupid, that you would sit over here in darkness. Unless the realization is, you know what? God is who says he is. He has ordained this. And even if we attempted to go over there, we couldn't get in. That's the only thing that makes sense. You know, it's not one of the questions that I'll ask when I get to heaven, but, you know, because I'll know. Darkness over there, light over here. People who love God, respect God, trying to do his bidding over here, but in bondage. These folk are free, but yet in darkness. They're free, but they can't go nowhere. Y'all don't hear me? Y'all going to trigger memories? I'm telling you, I can't get away from this thing, deacons. You know, Philemon, the same thing. Free, but in bondage. Free, in every sense of the word, in God. But yet you are constrained. These folk are both slave to sin. And they're slaves to their own ignorance, because that's all that matters. You're accountable for what you know. Pharaoh knew better. He didn't want to hear. He didn't want God talking to him. Every time God talked to him, he tried to outsmart God's spokesman by saying, oh yeah, if you just send the frogs away, I'll do right. You know, right? Oh yes, that's a great God. He's proved his point. And then 5 minutes, acting the fool again. So God says, okay, I'm gonna make sure that you don't act a fool. I'm gonna make sure you don't lie to me, because I ain't gonna talk to you. I'm just gonna bring the plague on. And so now we have number 9. Verse 24, as we move on. Notice Moses didn't come to him. He talks to Moses. See, because talking time is over with. You know, the guy with the white hat has got his gun on. Talking time is over with. Okay? He said, look here. And I've been thinking about this thing. It is not really right for me to keep you guys from worship. Oh. Moses, you must have misunderstood me. You know, forgive me. I had a moment of cognitive dissonance. You know, my mind wasn't working very well. You know, I was tripping. Take these guys. Y'all going to the desert. Terry, you take. Y'all heard what he said? He said, take the little ones too. Says, take them right with you. It's a sad thing when the world don't want your children. Oh, y'all laughing. Let me tell you what the enigma is here. The thing that's ironic here is that, guess what? The world wants your children. They want your children. The world will contend with you for your children. So you don't have to put in there, oh, the world didn't want your children. No, they want your children. Because that's a way of destroying you and the children. But so he says, go on. But he has another motive here. Because notice what he said. He says, go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. In other words, leave your animals. Let me tell you something, folks. Y'all may think this world has some of the greatest minds there is, and that they're smart and they can always figure out what's wrong. But you know what? I've come to realize that There's a whole bunch of stupid people in the world. And you know why? Because they think you're stupid. I mean, let me tell you, what we got a couple of contract negotiators, contract ex-contracting officers, contracting officers in here. To hear this guy, don't you recognize cons when they well, first of all, you gotta say, why does this guy wanna do this? Now I understand we done put nine, but let me tell you one thing, it didn't take nine plagues for you to come to this decision. Because when I saw that blood in that water, that would have been, hey, y'all get up out of here. Well, and don't let them frogs and gnats, because ain't nothing out here worse than a gnat. Oh, no, no, y'all got to go. You ain't got to go home, but you got to leave here. Y'all out of here. But now all of a sudden, there's no daylight for 3 days. And every indication that it only lasted 3 days. 3 days, you know what? Hey, I've reconsidered this. Y'all go on and worship. And take the children with you. But leave the cattle. Now understand one thing. Were the children of Israel not there when the previous plagues was going on? Were they not there at number six where all the cattle died, the wheat? The rye, destroyed by hail. Weren't they there? Was Moses there? Would Moses not know that y'all ain't got no cattle? That they don't have no meat? Come on, boys, come on, give me a break. How stupid do you think we are? Now see, that's on, you know, just a level, intellectual. How do you get there? But it shows you the length that the world will go to make you compromise on what God has said. And you know what? At first it might seem, oh yeah, we can go worship. Well, we got our little place up here on 1002 Live Oak Road. Ain't nobody but. And you know what? All they say is we don't have to say the name of Jesus. All we got to do is not be so demonstrative in our faith and showing our faith, and you can have your service. That's compromise, folk. And God is not about compromise. God is about obedience. Amen. God wants you to obey what he has said. He doesn't want you to get in and have circumstantial ethics and integrity. On one situation, you do one thing. On another situation, you'll do another, and you can be bought. At the price of, is life so dear, or peace so sweet, that it can be bought at the price of slavery? That's what one once said. And here, he's trying to deal with Moses. Moses, let's see your response. Let's see, you stayed out there 40 years in the backside of the desert. You know everything that God told you. You've been listening to God. Let's see your response. And Moses said what? Now, you talking about a diplomatic answer? I'm telling you, it's diplomatic. Because Pharaoh says one thing, and Moses says, look here, okay, since he wants to negotiate, let me give him a legitimate spiritual reason that he should let this these flock and herds go. He says, well, you know, we use the animals and to sacrifice. That is worship. In other words, you don't understand, Pharaoh. Worship wouldn't be worship without the sacrifice. It's all right for y'all to worship as long as you don't sacrifice. It's all right if you worship as long as you don't beg for no money, ask for a tithe. Y'all gonna put me out after this, but it's all right. I know I'm right. God says, don't compromise on worship. Moses had been taught. He knows what worship is. He didn't even have all the elements of it yet. At this point, Moses just had the basics down. you know, probably passed on down through Abraham and all of them, because we know that there was sacrificial. He had no idea. But you know what? I looked at this, I saw something else there. Think about it. There are 600,000 male Israelites. Trust me. So, if you add the women and the children, we're talking about almost 2 million people, because that's who came out. So we'll say 2 million people. 3 days' journey to the desert to worship, and 3 days back. What they gonna eat? Oh, somebody better help me. See, you gotta be very discerning about the devil and his ploys. You gotta understand that you don't, in your compromising, you may affect something else. So just do it like the Lord said do it, and you'll be covered. God says, I ain't let you know how many animals I need for the sacrifice yet. I haven't said that. So you bring them all. You bring them all. And you eat the rest. If need be. So Moses just covered his bases here. He said, wait a minute. Hey, we got to make a sacrifice. You talking about worship. So since you're talking about worship, Mr. Pharaoh, we can't really worship the way that you suggest. Don't compromise with the devil. Don't compromise your values. Don't compromise what you've been taught in the word. If something, you know what, folks? If something is true, was true in 1991, it's true today. Amen. In God's word. God's word doesn't change, because God doesn't change. So you got to hold fast, and you can't let fast talkers come in and try to get you to compromise on something that is core. Now, make sure it's core. He didn't talk about, Pharaoh didn't say, you know, but as long as I want you to walk at, you know, this pace, can you, that's a non-essential. We're talking about core things, and now we're talking about worship. Let's continue as we go. Verse 26 says, uh-huh. Mr. Pharaoh, just in case you didn't understand my previous sentence, let me add a little bit more to it. When we leave here going to the desert to worship Almighty God, there ain't gonna be a hoof left. Anything with a hoof is going with it. Matter of fact, you better not put no hoofs on your soldiers, because if there's a hoof, it's going to the desert with us. Because that's what God says. I want to make myself perfectly clear. Did I make myself clear? We're not going to leave them cattle. We're not going to leave our children. We're not going to leave them cattle. We ain't leaving nothing. We taking it with us. But you know what? If you guys remember, God had already told them that they would leave Egypt and Pharaoh would give them stuff, not take stuff from them. But just because you ain't got no cattle and your country's about to starve to death, the little cattle that we have, we taking with us, and we going to worship our Lord. No compromise, folks. And you can get hooked up, you can get mad with me, as some have. They got mad with me. There's some things I'm not going to compromise on. And you know what? Just like I believe every closed eye ain't sleep and every goodbye ain't gone, just because somebody don't say something every time, don't mean that they're taking all that in. But I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to worship and serve the Lord in this venue, because that's where he sent me. See? is just like heaven. Nobody can put you out. So in this vineyard, I'm just going to do my thing, carve it out, and this is it. No compromise. And you can go on and compromise if you want to. But if Moses had compromised, he run risk in the physical of having 2 million people starve to death. No food. He run the risk of offending God for not bringing a sacrifice. Oh God, we came out here to worship, but we don't have no cattle. We ain't got nothing on the hook. He said, let me tell you one thing. You didn't come to worship. Y'all going back. Take that 3-day track on back, because y'all didn't come to worship. So you got to be prepared to worship. Verse 27. But the Lord. And you know what? Pharaoh say, okay. No hoof, no goat. You're going to be right here talking bad. But see, when you slap the world in the face, I'm telling you, anger will rob you of reason. Because I'm telling you, Pharaoh is smoking hot right now. I mean, he's so hot, he can't even sit down. He'll burn his chair. He is flat hot. Look at what it says. And Pharaoh said, what you say, Moses? Get out of here. Do you know who you're talking to? Get out of here. No. Let me tell you something. I want you out of here, and I want you out of here right now. And if I ever see your face again, you'll be a dead man. You'll be deader than dead. You'll be graveyard dead. You'll be casket dead. You'll be dead, Moses. If I see you again, he didn't say if you say something to me. He says, if I see you again, don't come running up in here no more. I don't want to hear nothing from God, is what he said. I don't want to hear nothing from your God anymore, slipping in the darkness. You know, the darkness been over for a few days, but he's slipping right back into darkness because he says, the day that I see you, you will die. You will die. Now, can y'all imagine y'all talking to some powerful figure? Let's say in the government. You know, let's say Mr. Trump, the president of the United States, he tells you, he said, get out of my face, and the day I see you, you're going to die. Well, what would you say? Well, Moses did what every great Christian should do. He gives a compliment to this psychotic miscreant. Let me show you. Y'all don't believe me. Y'all don't believe me. Read the very next verse. And Moses said, first of all, verse 28 says, and what? Pharaoh said. Verse 29 says, and Moses said. Now, when y'all first look at that, you're saying, okay, Moses just, you know what I mean, nice. He's getting out of, he's doing more about it. But let me tell you what Moses said. Let me tell you, this is a Sneed version of this. Mr. Pharaoh, you are truly PPP. Not P. Diddy, but you're PQ. Well, you're talking about Deacon Sneed. For you have spoken well. That means, Mr. Pharaoh, that you are a phony, pathetic Pharaoh. Oh, Mr. Pharaoh, I'm sorry. I meant phony prophet Pharaoh, because you are phony. You have spoken well, but it don't make you no true prophet. You are a phony prophet. You've spoken very well. You know why? Because you've spoken some truth. Because the day you see my face again, you'll be dead. He said, you are right. You ain't gonna see me no more. You will not view me anymore. You won't review me anymore. But you will be viewed by me. Mr. Pharaoh, you're right. You're never gonna see my face again. Because God has stopped talking to you. It's crying time. It's crunch time. It's time to bring the heavy forces of God down on you. It's that time. See, the authors have called this the final confrontation with Pharaoh. But see, what really is, God's got one more thing in the bag for him. He said, Moses, you may not be involved, but it's going to be God alone. And as a matter of fact, if you read later on, you'll see that where it says that, and Pharaoh sent word to Moses and Aaron. See, he didn't see his faith. He told him, hey, come here. See, because Moses already said, you ain't seeing my face no more. I ain't coming in your presence no more. See, it's a time when you got to stop fooling with the world. You got to dust off your sandals and move on when God says so. You can't be fooling with him. You got to tell him, yeah, you're right. You put me out of your house now. But let me tell you one thing. I just believe that this is the last opportunity for salvation for you. And you just move on. Last confrontation. You'll see me no more. You won't have me to kick around no more. I've been telling you the word. I've been telling you what's good for you. And you know what? You haven't believed me. You haven't believed the one who sent me. And now, God has stopped talking. And his wrath is executed on you. Come next week and see what kind of wrath these people got. See you guys later.